Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
The Burt Show.
Wendy here is 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's taking a look at her life right now. And she's not completely happy with her real estate. She's just, and I don't mean literally, just her lot in life right now is just not sitting real good.
I'm not sure if I'm completely unhappy with everything, but I turn 25 in a month from today, actually. And they say 25 is when you have your quarter life crisis and you just kind of look back from when you were like in middle school and high school and you're like, I'm never going to get to 25, or you have a perspective of 25 and what you're going to be doing, who you're going to be with. And I thought, I'm really excited about where I am career-wise. I think this has been a blessing. And why? Because, I mean, this is awesome. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything.
You could do so much better than this.
No, I really couldn't ask for anything better career-wise.
You need to set the bar a little bit higher for yourself professionally, but go ahead.
No, I'm really happy professionally, but growing or being in high school, I thought relationship-wise and personal-wise, I would have been married by now, either having a baby, because growing up, I grew up in like, I grew up way out there in the country. So growing up, you have this imagination of having kids and having a family by a certain age. And it was
probably
by your mid-20s.
Some people that you went to high school with are well into kids.
Oh, yeah.
And
they've got
that.
Like two or three kids. Yeah. I didn't think I'd be two or three kids in, but I thought maybe a kid in, or at least be married by now or engaged. And that's nowhere right
near.
Now. Near. Anywhere close. I am as single as can be. But just looking back, I'm like, 25 already, and then there's nothing.
I don't understand why your standard has to be set for what your friends are doing, though. Like, they're probably taking a look at you, and they're going, man, professionally, she's so ahead of the curve. Here I am. I'm 25. I got two kids. I don't have a career. Is this sort of like, is this quarter-life crisis really just a case of, like, the grass is brown everywhere?
I mean, maybe I'm not complaining professional wise at all. That has nothing to do with anything. But I am jealous of people who are establishing relationships or who are in relationships right now at 25 and know where their future's going by 25.
Yeah, well, I think it's a timeline that women feel really obligated to. Certainly, women in the South maybe more than all over the country. But there is a lot of pressure to get married young. There's like this mystique about being a bride, and you know, just like how fairy tale princess that whole experience is, and you know, the whole, you know, get married at a certain age and have your 2.5 kids and your white picket fence and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think the pressure to do that comes from not only your peers but your family too, especially in the South.
And then when I see my sister, she's got it all going on. She's got her job going right now. She's in a great relationship, and she'll probably be married before I am and is already talking about that. And I'm here at 24, 25 in one more month, and there's nothing relationship-wise going on.
So paint for me the perfect picture. You wake up tomorrow morning. There's no such thing as quarter-life crisis, and this is Wendy's perfect life.
Wendy's perfect life. I'd have a career and I'd be in a really steady, if not engaged, relationship. And I don't know, I'd have a house. Like, I thought I was going to have a house at 25. I didn't think I'd still be living in an apartment. Like, I would have a dog in the backyard, the white picket fence, just be like Susie Homemaker and then go to work and have a husband that went to work and just be all hunky-dory.
Well, you
got to
get yourself a rich man like that Atom Bomb fella who's here.
He's really rich now.
Right.
And you could have a white picket fence, and on every picket would be stapled a used sporting event ticket to remind him of an event he once attended.
The Burt Show.
All right. Well, I have to confess that I am a driver and texter. I do text while I drive. I've not signed the Oprah Pledge, and I have not followed Governor Perdue's new Caleb's Law just yet.
As a side note, have you ever seen that picture? I think it was like 2 months ago it came out, of the dude that died that was basically just one half of his body
no.
at a
There's a couple pictures like that. Is this the guy who hit the 18-wheeler?
While
the
girl? He was texting?
Yeah, and she went underneath it or something?
Yeah.
And yeah.
And this picture was spreading all over the internet, basically saying, do not text and drive because this can happen to you. And it's the most graphic picture I've ever seen on the internet.
Yes, and I drive an Audi from Jim Ellis Audi, and I confessed to them. I said, you know what? And one of the things I do with them is I, you know, they sell leases, and so I... trade a car in every so often and drive a car for them. And so it's time to trade the car in. And I confessed to them this. I said, you know what? Katie, Joe, and I both try to make agreements with each other, promises with each other. We're going to put our phone in the trunk. We're going to throw our phone in the floorboard. But it's just, I unfortunately just can't get out of the habit. If the phone is there, then I'm going to text because I feel like, I guess, I have to be efficient with my time. And for some reason, I need to text at that moment. So,
and your girlfriend is on her phone more than you're on yours.
But she doesn't text as much driving as I do.
Oh.
So she she abuses the phone when she's just, you know,
well,
in
spending quality time with you.
Dinner with you.
Is Katie actually speaks on the phone to people. Melissa will not speak to people.
That is correct.
So Katie can just call somebody and say, oh, you want to meet Melissa and I for dinner tonight? Yeah, that's cool. Meet you at that pizza joint we like at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Whereas Melissa's like, how about pizza send?
9 years, correct. I have no idea what Melissa Carter's voice sounds like on a phone. Because it always goes to voicemail or she texts right back.
Well, and I'm a recovered telemarketer. I just cannot be on the phone. So I talked to them over there, and I talked to Tracy over there at Jim Ellis Audi, and I said, I need a manual transmission. You know, I used to drive a stick, and I haven't driven a stick in a long time, and I kind of miss it. But the main reason that I'm going back to manual transmission is that so I don't text while I drive.
Because you have two hands working.
Because I have to. I mean, because it's to the point that I have to do that in order to keep from texting and driving. And it's a terrible thing. And every time I do it, I know I'm testing fate. And so this time, I'm not going to make that mistake anymore.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a sort of an ethical safety question. Because this is what I've done now. I will not text while I'm driving. But if I'm stopped at a light, is that safe?
No.
That's
and
not
I'll tell you why.
Not.
Because if I'm behind you, it is only a matter of time before I ram my car in the ass end of your car for not noticing the light because I can see the freaking device in front of your face.
Hey, like when it hasn't happened between you and I yet. Why are you so angry?
When the light is red and it turns green. It would be cool if there was like, I don't know, some red light camera, somewhere where there's a camera that's been installed at a intersection for the past 10 years. Because I would like to know 5 years ago in an average 7-day period, how many people got honked at that intersection?
You're the angry horner, that angry honker too, aren't you? You're not just a little beep. You're the guy that goes over the top. It just went to green, and it's not a. And it's not a little. Hey, just want to let you know that it went from red to green. It's yo, idiot.
If I can.
I always think in my mind when that happens, Yankee.
If I can see your device in your hand, yes, that's what I do.
Right. Yeah.
I lay on it. If I can see the fact that you're texting and that's why you weren't paying attention to light, then I give you that.
You know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was thinking too, and with manual transmission, because so many cars now try to do the clutchless, you know, it's both automatic and manual, you know, so the people can have whichever one they want, but that's just not the same. If you have a true manual transmission with a clutch, just like Jen said, you're busy. Your both hands are busy, and it causes me to be paying attention to that rather than ever being able to pick up that phone.
Here's Don. Hey, Don, you're on the Burt Show. What's up?
Hey, Burt Show. Good day. I just called to tell you all that I just know that law passed. And yesterday I was driving down 75 northbound, and somebody had both hands off the wheel going 65 miles an hour texting.
Wow.
Yeah, I see. I think everybody's seen something like that, too. Yeah.
Dangerous. I think it's a smart call, Melissa.
Totally.
I think it's a good call. And I don't like typical car people say that's like the right driving experience when you can drive a stick.
Mm-hmm. I love driving
Melissa,
a stick.
Melissa drives 84 down a residential street with speed. Like, it's always Indianapolis 500.
You know what? But let me just call out Jeff Dollar, because you know what, Mr. I'm a 30-something-year-old man, you know, that...
Two.
With an 80-year-old trapped inside me, you go 15 on the interstate.
Hazards on.
Which is worse? Yes.
He's got his wraparound sunglasses on.
Why did you get somewhere, Jeff?
Melissa, I did that as a joke to you in 2001.
Whatever.
Let it go.
Whatever.
You know, I was nervous about yesterday's. You know, they were telling us about this new iPhone 4 that comes out, and it has video conferencing now. Imagine the people that are going to sit on their phone and watch their friends and talk to their friends while they're driving now also, man.
Can't do it.
Hey, Willie, what's going on?
Hey, I got Melissa's a problem solver for her texting and driving.
Okay.
Hey, if you have a BlackBerry or an iPhone, can download text and drive, and it'll read it to you when you get a text, and you can say stuff back to it, back for you, without you even touching your phone.
Is it any good, though? Because I think we've all noticed that the voice, you know, activated stuff doesn't really translate very well.
It is unbelievable. Cool. I mean, it works like you won't believe it. I mean, it's just, it's so easy. The full version is about $19.99. And you get that one, you can do everything with it. You can call straight through it. It'll read it to you. Then you can say, I want to send a message back. And
One called?
It's text and drive.
I'll try that one, because the one I downloaded before was like, Melissa, meet you at the station at 4. And then it reads back to me, Amanda needs to go on vacation with a whore.
The Bert Show.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
The Bert Show.
All right, so Wendy here is about to turn 25 years old, and she's looking at her life, and she's like, this is just not what I expected.
Well, I think 25 is just the age that you start reflecting on things of the past. I mean, you have a vision of where you should be at 25, and then when you finally reach 25, you just kind of reflect on what's not in your life that you had expected.
1-877-588-BERT, which is B-E-R-T. 1-877-588-2378. Hey, Sarah, good morning. You're on the Bert Show.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wendy, wow. Hello. Oh, my God, you're 25. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, you're whining. You have a great career. I feel like you're in crisis management. You always have a crisis. You always need to have some reason to sit back and go, my life isn't perfect. Whose life is perfect?
I don't think she's that different from most 24 or 25-year-olds that are taking a look at their life right now and just saying...
Were you like that at 24, 25?
Well, I think it's different for dudes. Well, I sure was not, no.
No, yeah. Come on.
I wasn't.
Well, in no way am I complaining at any, like, where I'm at in life. I think I have a great career. But, I mean, I think you do reflect on stuff that you expected, and then when you don't have those expectations, you're just like, huh, this is completely different than what I had envisioned myself doing.
When you were 24 or 25, Jen, where were you at?
Let's see.
Mentally.
I was more concerned in my career because I felt like at the place where I was, I should have been doing my boss's job. And I was doing my boss's job at the time, and he was getting all the credit for it. So I was incredibly frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I was frustrated at how much money I was making in light of all the job I was doing. I was working way more hours than what I was getting paid for. I'm frustrated about that. I remember having a total breakdown around the holidays because I couldn't afford Christmas presents for my family and freaking out and being like, I should be able to afford Christmas presents. I'm 24 years old, you know? And I do remember the pressure of wanting to get married and have kids. Now, I was in a long-term relationship at that time, so it wasn't as much of a pressure of the singlehood because I had been, he was my boyfriend at the time and then became my husband, now my ex-husband, but we had been in a relationship since I was 19. So the relationship pressure wasn't there at that time, but the career pressure certainly was, absolutely was. So, I mean, I can totally relate to where you are and where you're feeling and just that frustratedness because you feel like you should be ahead of where you are when you're about to turn 25.
Wendy here, 25 years old, and she's just telling us that she's close. She's real close. And just having this feeling of just like, this is not what she thought it was going to be right here. You know, not just professionally, but more personal.
More personally, I mean, somewhat professionally, but no way am I complaining about it. It's just different, and it's weird. It's a weird time.
Hey, Rachel, good morning. You're on the Bert Show.
Good morning. I love you guys.
Thank you. Loving you right back.
I just wanted to say, you know, I turned 26 last week, and I completely understand. I mean, about 6 months ago, I found a timeline I made when I was in high school in my health class. And by 23, I was graduated with college, married, had two kids, and was in my second year of getting my master's degree. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm 26, as I said, graduated. I've been in a relationship for 2 years, but I'm just about to quit my job and go back to something I'm going back to my master's for something completely different. And I'm just like, you know, I thought I would have had it figured out by now. And for some reason, I feel like my life is going to be over at 30, which is completely ridiculous. And I know that.
Well, you'd probably be dead by then. It's okay.
I know, right? But I do feel, you know, that there's a standard. You have an idea in your head of how things are supposed to be when you're younger. And you finally get to that point and you're like, oh my goodness, this is not what I planned. But you just kind of get to a point where you realize that you can't plan these things, unfortunately.
I don't think you're going to die at 30. I just don't think you're going to be able to wipe your own butt.
I might as well be dead. I think I have a theory now in about quarter-life crisis. I mean, because I always have made fun of the term quarter-life crisis. But I think that when you're young, you know, if you're fortunate enough to live in a home where you're secure and your parents are doing well. So this is where this theory is coming from. But I think that you see your parents established from the start. Mm-hmm. You don't see your parents struggle. You may hear some of the stories, but you never hear about all the moves they made, all the job changes they had to do, all the sacrifices they had to do, because more than likely you lived in that home. You were born in that house. You grew up in that town. You grew up in that neighborhood. And sometimes I think that you have this mentality that it just happened. And that, you know, so by the time you're 25 and you're graduated from school and you're in your career, you think, all of a sudden I should be exactly where my parents are and the way I grew up in high school and junior high school. Mm-hmm. The thing is, now you have to struggle and you have to go through that and you have to be able to tell those stories in your 40s and your 50s and your 60s like your parents do now. It's not instantaneous, and it wasn't for them, but it just seems that way because that's how you grew up.
And also, I think we live in different times than our parents lived in. Like, my dad's last job that he had, I think he was there for 40 years, you know? And I think we just live in a different time where people move around more. They have different jobs. And sometimes those jobs are steps backwards income-wise or, you know, on the totem pole-wise or whatever. You know, my dad started his job 40 years ago and maybe was making 10 grand a year. And then the next year was making 10,500.
Right.
And then every year for 40 years... And, you know,
but that's when companies rewarded employees
right.
for longevity.
And yet it was building his pension and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen anymore.
And I also think there is this element that we just sort of touched on, but I think it's major, especially for women, is that this dream, man, this dream of getting married and being swept off your feet and being married and still having kids at an early age, I think it's a little bit cloudier now, murkier than it was with our parents, but I still think it's there.
Well,
oh,
as a,
definitely. Oh, absolutely.
Fairy tales at 5 years old. That's where it starts. We've been told since we can remember that Prince Charming is going to come and take care of all of our needs when we're young, simply because we stand there and we look pretty.
Well, and it's the whole happily ever after thing. I mean, I think that where Wendy is approaching marriage, or even maybe somebody like Joanna, who's engaged and planning their wedding, and, you know, in your early 20s, they see your wedding day as a finish line. Like, somehow you have won the
race.
But guess what? That's where the starting line is. Like, that's where the race begins, is at the start of your marriage. It's not where you can throw your hands up and be like, okay, I'm done. You know, it's completely opposite of that. But I think that's how it's viewed a lot of times.
Here's Megan. Good morning, Megan. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, Burt Show. How are you guys?
Excellent.
I want to first say that I have to agree with everything that Jen and Melissa has said. And Wendy, I feel like I'm listening to myself on the radio 3 years ago. I'm about to be 28. I met my fiance back in September. We got engaged 5 months later, the same day we closed on a house. I've just landed my dream job, so I'm planning a wedding, starting a new job, starting a new life. And
nice.
It's everything that I've ever wanted. It came later than I expected it to ever come, but it came, and it made me realize that the time waiting for it is well worth it, and it helps you appreciate what you get once you get it. And so I think that you just have to hold on, and when it happens, it'll be that much better. But like Melissa said and Jen said, once you start, there's so much pressure and stress that go along with starting a new home and starting a new family. So it's just something I think you have to be patient for.
I think it's funny how Wendy, in my perspective on her conversation, completely different. Wendy's like, oh, cool, you know, that she's doing all those things and all the things that she said she's starting right now. I thought, oh, my God, she's overwhelmed and she's exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, that she is planning a wedding, starting a new job, and building a home all at the same time. Are you nuts? You know
That's
what
awesome.
I mean?
I'm going to put Joshua on out of respect because he's been on hold for so long. Hey, Joshua, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning, Burt.
Hey.
Actually, first, guys, I feel like I'm on the spot. But Wendy, listen to me. You are actually in a career that puts you kind of like outside of everybody else, because everyone can see and hear what's going on in your life. So is that one of the issues that you're having? Is like, are you wanting to like kind of keep yourself abreast of everything else and pursue like relationships, or like why do you need to have a relationship to make yourself feel successful of being married and have kids and whatnot? Because radio, you're going to be moving around a lot. If you're really into this career, you're going to be like moving from one city to the next.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about it because I think I'll eventually get there. But like the other caller said, you create a timeline when you're growing up of when things are supposed to happen. And approaching 25, you have an idea and you have expectations growing up of what it should be like. You should be in a relationship. You should have a great career. You should be making lots of money. It's just a reflection on that. And eventually I'll get there, but where I want to be at 25 is not how I imagined it.
You know what? If you were in a relationship right now or you're married and you had kids, you'd be on the radio stressed out about how you can't balance everything
right.
out.
Right.
Or how you wish you were single or you wish you right. had more time to yourself and right. to figure out who you are and you have more independent years.
The grass is brown everywhere. Everywhere!
Yeah, we should have a quarter-life crisis party where women come and burn those lists of where there's
right.
time
right.
to be.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
The Bird Show.
All right, if you are married, this is the list that you want to stick around for right here,
no
okay?
Kidding.
All right, now there are 15, they say, factors that gauge whether you'll get divorced or not. I got all 15 here. I'm not sure we're going to have time to get through all 15, but I'll put the entire list up on theburtshow.com.
You know who should pay close attention is our producer, Joanna.
Oh, Lord.
Why don't we get her in here? Will you mind okay. peeking your head
no.
in?
No.
Hey,
can
you
come on?
Because this is if you're engaged, like our producer Joanna is, you take a look at these at this
right.
list right now, and you may go, okay.
You know, wait a second, I need to change this or that or whatever.
13 of 15 red flags. How bad can that be?
Come on in, Joanna.
Come on in. We are gonna confirm to you that you have chosen the right guy this morning. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
As
for
if you didn't know already.
It.
Yeah.
That's what we're gonna do. This is producer Joanna's at Mike Music. And she chose it because she's from Uruguay.
Well, the singer is not from Uruguay.
Uruguay.
The singer's not from Uruguay?
No, no.
But the tone, the flavor is
yeah.
Latino because you're from Uruguay.
You're with those obnoxious people that have to overdo any
accent.
Hispanic words.
Yep.
Ranchero. I hear him in the hallways and he's always like, Joanna Rodriguez. But it doesn't stop. It's like a 20-minute, like, Rodriguez.
It's like that dude that says goal, it's Rodriguez.
Say it, don't spray it.
All right, Joanna, so you are engaged and you're set to get married when?
In 2035.
Yeah, really?
2011.
2011. All right,
next year sounds so much better.
These are the 15 factors that allegedly gauge whether you'll get divorced or not, but you're going to want to listen, obviously, with an engaged ear here, all right?
Yes.
If you're married Americans, your marriage is between 40 and 50% likely to end in divorce. So right off the bat, if you're listening right here and you are in our country, 40 to 50% not going to make it.
Between two Americans? So what if you marry?
Two Americans.
Oh. Am I considered American?
Because she's... Yes.
Well, I was born
not
there.
In Arizona.
It depends on which is the better statistic.
I know.
Right.
So just claim you're from Uruguay.
You can cater these to fit your needs.
Yes.
Okay.
Just like Bird caters his Jewishness.
My Jewish.
Yep. Bird's only Jewish if he gets a day off work.
And Jason's from Miami, and so Miami is kind of South America-ish. You
know? Very close to Cuba.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So we're good. We're fine there.
Jason's Cuban.
Oh.
If you live in a red state, you're 27% more likely to get divorced than if you live in a blue state.
That is an X against you because we are red.
Red.
I'm getting married in Florida. Are they red?
They
yes.
are.
Yes.
I don't think it matters where you get married. I think it matters where you live.
If you live in a red state.
Oh, they said married.
If you argue with your spouse about finances once a week, your marriage is 30% more likely to end in divorce than if you argue with your spouse about finances less frequently.
Okay, we don't ever argue.
You don't because you don't have any money.
Because you're broke.
Right.
Did you say that with a straight face?
And, yeah.
And because he doesn't live here.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So we don't argue yet.
It's bliss every time you see each other. I've missed you so much.
Well, isn't the old cliche that the first year of marriage, the thing that people argue about most is finances?
Isn't that the top reason for divorce usually?
Is it
finances, I think.
That and farting while you sleep.
And lack of sex.
Or too much sex with another person.
That's true.
Or farting while you're having sex.
Yeah.
Oh. Then how have you stayed married for so long, Jeff?
I have to fast.
No one's believing
right.
that. You could have said anything about that.
You can't even keep a straight face of that.
All right, number four. If your parents were divorced, you're at least 40% more likely to get divorced than if they weren't. If your parents married others after divorcing, you're 91% more likely to get divorced.
Huh.
Really?
Well, I guess I'll be screwed in the future.
No, we're good there. Both of our families are still married.
I think that's really solid.
Yeah.
That's really good. I'll have to bring this up at another time. If I was Stacy dating me 16 years ago, knowing my family history, I would not recommend me for her.
You were a gamble.
I was a gamble.
Total.
She rolled it. She all in on this one.
And she is waiting for that payoff.
She still
is. Hoping someday it'll pay off.
If only one partner in your marriage is a smoker, you're 75% to 91% more likely to divorce than smokers who are married to fellow smokers.
We're not smokers.
All right. He's into that whole hash thing, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, he's into tobacco, chewing, but no nothing. No, not at all.
I thought you chewed.
I do. I have chewing right now.
Uh-huh. She could always use, but that's what every woman does in Uruguay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What?
If you're a daughter, you're nearly 5% more likely to divorce than if you have a son. If you have a daughter, you're nearly 5% more likely to divorce than if you have a son.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Women are pains in the ass and guys.
That's why you had to turn in your census right there.
Just so you have a stat like that.
Yeah, so we can come up with stats like that.
That one's stupid. That one's stupid. If you're a woman 2 or more years older than your husband, your marriage is 53% more likely to end in divorce than if he was 1 year younger to 3 years older. That sounds like one of those damn SAT.
How many rowboats do you need to get everyone off the island?
You need to study that. It'll be up online.
This is a happy survey.
All right. You're going to want to listen to this one, Joanna. If you're of below average intelligence, you're 50% more likely to be divorced than those of above average intelligence.
What's average intelligence considered?
Well, I'm above average intelligence, so yeah, I don't know what below is.
That's why I was saying you needed to listen to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Joanna's going to beat your ass.
This one's about twins or triplets. If you're a female serial cohabitor...
I don't know what you're... If you're a female serial killer, more than likely...
I know.
Your marriage won't end in divorce because
well,
he'll be
then
dead.
I'm getting divorced.
If your name is Jordan Vandersloot, you will not have a successful marriage.
If you're a female serial cohabitor, a woman who has lived with more than one partner before your first marriage, then you're 40% more likely to get divorced than women who have never done so.
Hmm.
So have you ever lived with a dude before?
No, never.
Okay, that works for you.
I'm looking good so far, huh?
Watched
our marriage last a week.
And
if you have the attitude of Joanna Rodriguez, then your marriage will probably not last.
The other ones are sort of inconsequential because they address specific counties and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that's your base right there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to take a look at that while you're engaged or take a look at your man today and go, woo, there are 13 of 15 red flags right there.
Well, it looks like you need to change your citizenship to something other than American and move out of this red state.
Yes.
That's really the only thing that you have going against you in your marriage being stable is the fact that you're an American.
That's great.
That's a great survey, Bert. Nicely done.
Yeah, great.
What
was
it supposed to be directed towards yourself?
Yeah.
Get it. The Bert Show.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so Jen Hobby here confessed to us about an hour ago.
Oh, great.
In case you didn't hear it, here's a recap.
I mean, it was an accident. These things happen. She's at this really cool stage right now where she's going out with this new dude. Are we allowed to name him by name?
I guess we can.
That's up to you.
Yeah, how about victim?
Victim of me?
Well, just of that night. His name is Grant. We call him Superman, because the dude is like perfect in every way, shape, and form.
Not perfect, he's pretty close.
He has a tremendous sense of smell.
He might have found his kryptonite.
Incredible hearing.
So Jen said that, you know, I mean, they're in this new relationship, and in the middle of the night, you know, he crashes over at her house and lets one slip.
Well, I said earlier that it was the middle of the night, and apparently my tummy was upset from whatever we had eaten earlier, and it woke me up. I woke myself up passing gas.
I'm sorry. Seriously, I've seen dogs do that before.
Great.
Like, I've seen my dog, my dog Pancake. I have a bulldog. He's like 62 pounds now, y'all.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I have seen him pass gas and then get, even while he's awake, and gets so scared by it that he looks like behind him, like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, it seems like most of it, because our dog Sully will do the same thing, and then she goes in search of where the source is, and
you
then she
realize
finds it.
You're both comparing me to a dog. Thanks.
So sure. You didn't sniff your own butt, so.
Or did you? Jen was all embarrassed about it, so she confesses to Superman the next day.
I only said that I hoped I didn't wake him up last night, because I got up. I woke up, and I got up because I had had a stomach ache.
So we started talking about this more during the commercials, and Jeff and I have a completely different attitude. We have a more woman-like attitude about passing gas than the women on The Burt Show, Wendy and Melissa.
But y'all have been married for how many years?
Well, for me, 13.
Okay.
90.
Well, that's going to go over.
That's what it feels like.
I think at a certain point,
Jen's bending over.
Stop it.
I'm just fascinated that after being together for 12, 13 years, that you still
look, if we go on vacation together, just Stacey and I, and we're in a hotel room together, I will still, if I have to go poop, I will ask her to go out on like the patio deck.
You warn her that you're going to go poop.
I'll just go, hey, could you go outside on the deck? Or
I run the shower. I sang opera, turn the water on.
Still hit the fan, hit the water. Yeah.
I think at a certain point, you should be comfortable.
No, never.
I agree.
Mm-mm. I'm with them.
So now, Wendy, you're single, but you've been in long-term relationships. With boyfriends that you've had in the past, you would just go into the bathroom or you will start passing gas around. You get
not
so comfortable.
Not on purpose.
But if it happens, it happens.
If it happens, it happens. And if I got to go after a certain point in a relationship, not maybe like the first 4, 5, 6 months, but like even if it was even a year, I mean, you should feel comfortable to do that around
somebody. What? Toot?
Yeah. If it happens, it happens.
You would just let it rip. You would just let it go and you would be fine with it and you wouldn't
be
embarrassed.
I have before in past relationships. I think it's just, I mean, who cares? I mean,
don't worry about it.
You're supposed to be comfortable with somebody. No. Like,
you gotta
it just happens. It's part of life and it's part of nature.
But you can control it. You can run.
You can control it, yes. But
I don't want you to get that comfortable.
Don't be embarrassed.
No. You gotta learn to tune your butt trumpet.
Say what?
Really.
I mean, I didn't say that.
No, but
nobody is more flatulent liberated than Melissa Carter.
No.
You and Katie Joe calling. Okay, look at the size of this one.
No. But that's I do find it fascinating that if I, you know, because if I say, look, you know, excuse me for a minute, you know, or whatever, that means don't interrupt me when I'm in, you know, doing my bathroom time. But I don't like feel the need to have to turn on the radio, turn on the shower, turn on the faucet,
scurry,
start singing, start doing all this stuff. Because guess what? She knows what I'm doing.
I don't care. So long as she can hear that. and not but what she, you're doing.
But she can't hear it from outside.
In the beginning, no, you can't do that. But if you're in a comfortable relationship with each other, you should be able
to. 16 years.
I find it sad that you're so self-conscious. You should just be able to be comfortable with the person you're with.
I don't see it as self-conscious. I see it as respectful.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are just self-conscious. What's the worst thing that's going to happen if they figure out that you're going number two in the bathroom?
It's not there. It's just out of respect. They shouldn't have to deal with all the sounds and noises.
They don't have
ever,
to.
Ever,
they can
ever
move.
Think about
How
that.
Many
at
the sounds end of the and noises day, do you make?
At the end of the day, even if you're married for 16 years, you're still just trying to have sex. So I want her to not think of me that way. Even if I know she knows I do that.
And she doesn't want to think about you that way.
Exactly.
Because I don't want to think about him that way.
Thank you.
I'm fascinated about how many noises you think come from.
I know.
Like, what kind of struggle are you having?
I'm getting up there in years. It's not as easy as it used to be.
Gross.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.